Okay, here we are back. Glad you're there. In the midst of all this orchestrated financial chaos, they know what they're doing. We have a backdrop of massive suffering, massive grief, massive death. People falling over dead. Had a report from another physician today, 42-year-old woman waiting in line at a assisted care residence. She's having emotional issues. Fell over dead, right on the floor. I think she's had 3 shots, something like that. And they did an autopsy and found that she had amyloid tumors in her lungs, pulmonary embolism, gone, just gone. That's the way it is. And they don't even look for amyloid clots in an autopsy. It's rare. Seems that morticians are finding most of them, not medical examiners. I mean, it's really just too much. Disgusting. Are you there, young lady?
I'm here, Jeff.
You're getting rained
on,
huh?
Yeah, it's coming.
A nor'easter.
A nor'easter, yes.
The ghosts
Wind
of the lobstermen. The ghosts of the lobstermen come out of the sea.
Oh, it makes
and
us
bang
tough.
On the door to see what they can see. There's more to it, but I'll stop here. Poetry's fun. Except I never liked poetry, but it's kind of fun.
And you're quite good at it.
Now, we are literally surrounded with death and dying, and we're not deemed worthy enough to be aware of it, according to the mainstream media, Zionist masters. No, tell them. They don't need to know. So they don't tell us. So you find people who have no idea what's going on here, and I'll say it again. I don't mind. It's my projection that perhaps 1 out of 10 Americans have died already in the last 2-plus years, and it does indeed present as a gradual process, so most people won't notice. It's not like it happens overnight. And then you have people coming across the border, millions of them, who fill up spaces that were otherwise occupied by European Americans who built this country and used to have the biggest open arms for people around the world. Look at Ellis Island. Look at the Statue of Liberty. And we did so much, and we brought all those people in here, and they helped working together as Americans to build the greatest nation state that the world has ever seen, at least in recorded history. And now look at it. 2 years, 3 years. The plan was triggered. They pulled the trigger, and look where we are. It's a sewer already. Go into any major city, if you're dumb enough, and look and see what you see. It's not good. This banking thing is all orchestrated. I don't know where we'll be in a week. I mentioned that last hour. They're moving to an all-digital, total surveillance, social credit score society, if society will even apply. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is right that divorce is the only way that the so-called American nation state will survive. States are going to have to withdraw from other states, black, white, yellow, all the different races. Doesn't matter. If the political majority in that state votes to withdraw from the union, it should be able to withdraw. They may have to fight for it. I don't know. There's no way to integrate this. Mixed cultures don't work under pressure like this. It just doesn't work. Anyway, all right. So, okay. Oh, I just got this thing. Naomi Wolf, is this a tweet or something like that?
Yes, this is a tweet.
This is important. You read this. But let me just say before you do, other than this program, when was the last time that you out there heard about the turbo cancers that are just ravaging the bodies of countless tens and hundreds of millions of people? We're not hearing about it. When have you heard about it last? Maybe here. I'm sure it's been mentioned somewhere. but it's not talked about anymore. Go ahead and read that Naomi Wolf quote.
Yeah, she tweeted this the other day, March 10th. Horrendous report. Turbo cancers following genetic therapy, quote, vaccines. Dr. Uta Krueger, a breast cancer specialist, noticed he's seeing more young people in his practice. Tumors are getting larger, and tumors are growing more aggressively and faster.
We're seeing literally diagnosis to death in not even weeks sometimes, in days. People feel not too good, and they go in and they're examined, and they're found to have cancer from head to toe.
Yeah.
And they die. There's nothing to do. Nothing. Because their immune system is gone. Their P53 are gone. And the other natural anti-tumors and tumor suppressant agents are gone or obviously graphically disturbed from their normal functionality. There's nothing there. It's just not talked about. It's crazy.
Yeah, now, there's so many components of the immune system that are crippled or disabled with these injections. And then, the spike protein itself, because I'm seeing more and more reports. I saw another one today on melanoma. Somebody who didn't get the shot, but was living amongst family or household members that had been shot, and he was diagnosed with melanoma.
There you go. And I do believe that this is not traditional melanoma. I think it's an even more ravaging melanoma. And I say that
melanoma is fairly serious because, you know, it starts off as a little speck on the skin, and sometimes it can be internally. It's not necessarily associated with UV light exposure, sun exposure. And it can start off like that, but it's deceptive because the cancer is actually beneath that and can be spreading systemically, even though on the surface of the skin there's just a tiny little mark.
Right. I believe that either that form or another form, a genetically tweaked and modified form, is used to kill people. Mm. And I think it can be spread through direct skin contact on a door handle, a steering wheel, aerosolized perhaps, then it goes internal, whatever. It's
bad. Let's not forget the spike protein is an oncoprotein. It has the ability to bind to the P53 protein as well as the P53 gene, and that's a major controller for cancer.
It used to be.
And then it's, you know, that toll-like receptor 4 is also another one that surveils for cancer that spike will interfere with.
There's another one that has blastoma in it or something.
Oh, RB, retinoblastoma. That's a tumor suppressor gene.
Yeah.
I don't think the spike interacts with that one. I have not seen that to date. But it does, you know, interfere with P53 and also the BRCA1, BRCA2 genes.
Right. Okay, here's Sherry Tenpenny, who's busily doing her own thing, trying to. Seeing patients, and I think I don't know if she's successfully built her hospital. I'm not saying it was from the ground up, but rebranded a building as a hospital or a clinic, something like that. I don't know what she's doing now, but she does stick her head up occasionally and makes a good statement or two. We've got one short one here for you we'll play. You want to set this up?
Yeah, I think this was her weekly Critically Thinking podcast with Dr. Larry Pilevsky a couple weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was mentioning about the mRNA being self-replicating. And I think there's evidence that it is.
Well,
supposed to be.
Well, that's what they told us it's not supposed to be, yes. But I think they knew damn well it was and would. Didn't we have papers on that it was found to be exuded from the body in mother's breast milk. And if it's there, it could certainly come out in an aerosolized particle.
Sure.
From breathing. If it's in breast milk, that means it comes from the blood, and it's in all body fluids, basically.
Right.
Or can certainly
end up
there.
Right, and they were actually, in this latest study that was published, they were actually able to identify which vaccine this mRNA had come from. I mean, that's how accurate the sequencing is now, but, you know, they can differentiate. We know if it's Pfizer, we know if it's Moderna, or J&J, or...
Right. Interesting.
But this is not supposed to be self-replicating, but it could be. And we know from the Pfizer documents that Sasha Latipova combed through, she found evidence that in the clinical trials, at least, they were using self-amplifying mRNA as one of the candidates. Supposedly, they discarded that one, but did they? I mean, we're still technically in trials right now.
If you're we'll always be in trials. If you're building a bioweapon, why wouldn't you make that
right
self-replicating or replicating in some fashion? Of course you would. Of course
right.
You'd say it isn't. But of course you would if your goal was to destroy billions of people. And here's what this is all relating to. Shedding. We know that the spike is shed, and we know now that both are shed. And if you're the recipient of spike, it's going to be more than one, be a lot of them in all likelihood. But what's worse is if you get a dose of the modified RNA, that goes into your body and immediately sets up shop in your body's cells, depending upon how many you get, and those cells... then begin to produce spike protein around the clock, 24 hours a day. And what is it, 17 months now, they've found mRNA in people's body that was not cell-associated. It was loose, which is suggestive that the mRNA itself is being Xeroxed and turned loose in your blood to go out and transfect more cells. If that's the case, shedding is far worse than just getting spike. If you get the machinery and the factory in your body to make it, you're toast. Slow toast? Fast toast. It doesn't matter. So now here's somebody else beside us, and we're not the only ones, but it's good to see others chiming in. Here's Tenpenny talking about exactly that issue, that the mRNA is apparently being shed in addition to the spike. So let's see what... I've only heard this once. It was a couple of days ago, or yesterday, I guess. Here, Sherry Tenpenny.
By blindly trusting another human being. And they said, and those... what's going to happen in another 3, 4, 5, 7 years to those that are alive and are still getting boosters in terms of autoimmune disease... You know, now they're coming out with these really expensive, you know, autoimmune antibody blockers and all these other things because of this extensive autoimmune disease. And there was a report came out a couple of weeks ago out of the UK, out of Europe, that there's some sort of thing that they stain with on autopsy. And they found that it appears as though that the messenger RNA is continuing to replicate 17, 18, 19 months after it's been injected.
Okay, there it is. 17, 18, 19 months, they're still finding it on autopsy in people not cell-associated. It's on the loose. They're finding it.
Yeah.
They're staining for it. They're finding it. That's literally what they do. They stain for things, and the things will pick up a certain color, and they can see it. But that is a staggering statement, and that would suggest that those who have been injected, the mRNA they get is just seed mRNA, and their body or the mRNA itself somehow can Xerox, photocopy itself, replicate itself. Now, you mentioned there's another thing that they may, and you've got to remember the people who built this want dead people. This is not playing games. So they're going to do everything they possibly can to ensure that that bioweapon is death, sooner or later. So there's something else called replicase that they might have introduced into the seed. I'm going to call it seed mRNA in the injection. Explain replicase.
Well, that's an enzyme they would use to cause the mRNA to copy itself. Now, this modified mRNA doesn't use replicase. It's mutually exclusive. If you have modified mRNA, you can't have replicase, and vice versa. But the benefit of having a messenger RNA with replicase is you only need a tiny amount. I think the amount was 1/64th of the amount of modified mRNA. You would need to do the same thing with self-amplifying mRNA. Which might explain why when some parties have attempted to analyze the contents of these vials, they may not have been using adequate detection methods. If there was self-amplifying mRNA present in these infinitesimal amounts, I don't know. But that's the bonus of using self-amplifying is you need very, very little of it, and it just takes off.
Self-amplifying means self-replicating. Okay.
Yeah, it'll copy itself. And I guess it would depend on the person's immune system, how competent it was to shut it down. But again, there can be things in there to shut off parts of the immune system that would be tasked with shutting that down.
We go back to the beginning. This thing is so diabolically satanic and complex and multifaceted and sophisticated. There's not just one or two ways to look at it. It is overwhelming. There are things that this thing can do to stop life that we haven't even talked about on the air. It just gets to be too crazy.
Yeah.
So whoever built this, and I'm not saying people couldn't, I'm saying in my view, I'm not speaking for Erica, there is every reason to believe, if you understand, that the top level of the visible global elite is connected to the invisible ETs that are here, whichever species, and they're involved, and they've been on this planet a long time, and they're involved with reducing the population. I think there was some consultation going on at the least. I'm not saying we couldn't do the mechanics, but this thing takes no prisoners. This is merciless. And none of these supplements are going to reverse the genetic damage done by these things. It's not going to happen. You might get some symptomatic relief, and that's good. That's great. But we don't know anything that is really going to go in and wholesale turn this thing around. Do we think that there is an antidote? Probably. We're not going to see it. But they probably have one out there. At least that's what the communist Chinese say. They've got it. So.
Well, I if this is a permanent transfection, and it looks like it is, in other words,
19 months?
You're transcribing this mRNA into DNA and integrating it into your own genome, that would be a permanent integration. And can you shut it down? I don't know. Maybe you can silence it by methylation. We're just guessing. I mean, we don't even really know what we're working with, and it may be different for different people. I mean, it's a real quandary.
It's horrible. I'm looking. Hold on here. Let's see. I'm trying to find the that original Dr. Chetty video, and I don't think I'm going to be able to before I play this other one. Let me see if I can find it here. Dr. Chetty, C-H-E-T-T-Y. If you don't know about Dr. Chetty, you've missed one of the great ones. This guy is a real mind. South Africa. Now I'm not going to be able to find it. It's somewhere on the site. Uh, Anyway, Dr. Chetty said quite simply, the spike protein is, if I have, I think I might have the quote here. The spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins, contrived as in intentional, toxins or poisons man has ever made. Now, he said that 2 years ago?
Yeah, almost. Yeah, I think it was probably coming up on 2 years.
Now, in South Africa, where he lives and works and practices, he's still at it, and they are going after him again. And here's a story. This is not that long, but it's worth a listen. Dr. Chetty, and listen to this man talk about his views on life, his views on helping mankind, humankind, to try to get past this. As a reporter here, and then we're going to get to hear Dr. Chetty.
Is in deep water for his response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Dr. Shankara Chetty is now being investigated by the Health Professions Council after he spoke out about the risks of the COVID-19 vaccine and alleged medical censorship. He joins me now live here to talk more about this. Dr. Chetty, good afternoon. Welcome to today. First up, let's just start there. Why are you in trouble?
Well, I'm hoping my hearing on the 17th will give me that information as well then. The council has brought charges against me for unprofessional conduct, but none of the charges seem to make any sense to me right now.
Okay, but my understanding is that's all because you've been highlighting some dangers around COVID-19 vaccine, particularly for children.
Yes. Then to give you some perspective on where this comes from, I started seeing patients physically myself in 2020, and I understood the nature of the illness and how it causes death. I quickly understood that we were having an allergic reaction to a protein on the virus rather than any severe viral infection. A majority of patients who had severe illness initially had a viral phase from which they seemed to have recovered. And they progressed into a second phase, which was a hypersensitivity-triggered allergic process that led to severe inflammation and coagulation. By examining patients myself, I figured this out, and I started treating it as such, as a biphasic illness. Not everyone goes into the second phase, and so I had to educate patients about watching for that second phase a week later. And over the course of the pandemic, I've treated over 14,000 patients myself. I've educated doctors around the world, thousands of doctors around the world. I've been asked to present to the academic society of my medical college as an expert COVID faculty. And all the doctors around the world have had the same outcomes as I have. No hospitalizations, no deaths, and we've negated the need for oxygen. And so towards the tail end of 2020, I realized that the problem was spike protein. Spike protein was causing the allergic reaction. And so using spike protein in a vaccine seemed a nonsensical thing to do. And I've been speaking out against using new technology with the spike protein as a vaccine would be dangerous. And so I've been speaking out against this from day one. I understand the structure of spike protein and what it would do in the human body. And so I predicted the side effects of the vaccine. And of course, all that has come to bear. Now, if someone falls and bumps their head, you suspect a head injury. That doesn't make that suspicion unlawful and going against mainstream. And my suspicions have all proven to be true. And so a lot of other doctors have advocated for the stopping of this vaccine. Clearly, it was not proven to stop transmission or stop infection. Has no population-based benefit.
Is this...
Okay, I think that's enough. You get the idea. They're going after this great man who speaks truth, and we wish him well. They will do whatever it takes. At least he's alive. They haven't killed him, and that's not a facetious remark.
Mm. He was number one. Yeah, you can finish it up. It's not that long. See,
okay.
He's worth hearing.
All right. He is indeed. I don't know about the reporter, but let's see.
Allergic reaction to this protein. I'm not. You've mentioned the name.
You see, the reporter doesn't even know what the hell spike protein is. How can you go into an interview like this and not know what he's even talking about? He says, I've heard the name.
No, I'm not. You've mentioned the name. Yes. Is it also, does it affect adults as much as it affects children?
Just to put that into context, in the first wave, we found people over 55 that were badly affected by the first variant. Now, that when you have an allergic reaction to something, the first exposure to an allergen doesn't cause the reaction. In those that are allergic, they develop the antibodies. And so the second reaction is what becomes clinically significant. So I was of the opinion that people over 55 were exposed to something that gave them the antibodies. And so when they were re-exposed to the virus in the first wave, they were the ones that were dying. But those below 55 were sensitized in the first wave, and in the second wave, they would have got their second dose. And so I predicted that people, younger patients in the second wave would die. And that's what happened globally, irrespective of variants. Now, when it comes to children, children are generally protected by an immature immune system. And so they can't have very severe allergic reactions. And so children generally were protected. And of course, you cannot vaccinate against an allergic reaction. I think it's time people realize that the virus was not the primary pathogen of COVID illness. It was spike protein. The spike protein was responsible for all the mortality and morbidity we've seen. And with the vaccination, that reaction would result in the differences we see. Some people had no reactions to the vaccine, and some people have had very severe reactions to the vaccine. But in all, a vaccine's not going to give you protection against an allergic reaction. And of course, with robust natural immunity now being acknowledged, there was no need for a vaccine to create that immunity in the first place.
Yeah, I understand you've joined two other applicants, Dr. Chetty.
All right. Just for the record, he's still dealing with the idea that the COVID virus, the coronavirus, was not a real significant issue. That's absolutely correct. The COVID virus was turned loose to frighten people. It was a very fast-acting, fast-transmitting coronavirus, like the common cold. It's in that same general group. It was synthetic. It wasn't a natural, but it was designed to be able to be used to relabel influenza as coronavirus. So the symptoms were very similar. And for 2 years, they relabeled most flus as COVID. Very clever stuff. This is all thought out, all gamed on computers for years and years. They knew the psychology of the masses. They knew the power of the mainstream media. And they knew all about human fear. Fight or flight, the fear-based response. And that's what they used.
In filing an urgent ex parte application to stop the administration of the COVID-19 shots to children between the ages of 5 and 11 years. Is that why perhaps you are being hauled before an inquiry?
Look, I think I'm in a unique position in that I've seen this pandemic and contributed to the academics around the pandemic from the start through the administration of the vaccines to the point where we are now witnessing the side effects like I had predicted before the vaccines were even rolled out. Now, children are definitely not going to be protected in any means by this vaccine. They are not at risk. In everything we do, we got to consider and weigh up a risk-benefit ratio. So the risk to children is negligible, if any. So we got to consider the risk of COVID. And so we got to consider the benefits of the vaccine weighed against the risks of the vaccine. And so if the risk to children is negligible, I think a new untested intervention is wholly reckless. Children are not at risk of COVID. And so we can take our time and assess these vaccines and make sure thoroughly that they are safe before we decide to administer it to a population not at risk of illness in the first place.
I would only suggest that he calls it an untested intervention, i.e. an experimental vaccine. He's a smart man. He knows by now that this is not a vaccine. It's a weapon. The data is out now. The Pentagram and the DOD own it. They contracted with Pfizer and Moderna, et cetera, to create it. It is operating, by all appearances, perfectly for what it was designed to do. There's nothing experimental about it. It's a deployed weapon. I think
yes,
that's fair to say.
Yep.
All right. I think that's enough of this. We got most of it. I hope that if he started to talk right now that this was a bioweapon, I think he'd be in even deeper trouble. So that's probably why he's not going further than saying it's an untested procedure.
I think you're right. Walking a fine line.
Keeps him safe. Yeah. Okay. So we've talked about turbo cancers. We've talked about Dr. Chetty. We've talked about the spike protein. We now know from Dr. Tenpenny that the formal time period is 19 months, where at autopsy, those who are looking will find cell-free mRNA. This should scare the hell out of everybody with a brain. That means there's no question that after 19 months, there should not be cell-free mRNA running around the bloodstream in the body. It should have docked up and gone into cells right away like they promised us and not be an issue. How long does it produce spike proteins after transfecting a cell and taking it over? We don't know. But we can certainly now see that the mRNA itself, the blueprints, the plans, the machinery to produce spike proteins in your body are sheddable and spreadable for up to 19 months. And it may be a lot longer than that. So shedding is real. Shedding is not a joke. And for all of you out there, we've given you the information. It's up to you to make your decision. Does this work for you? Do you want to deal with it? Do you want to try to protect yourself to the best of your ability? I think most all of you do. You wouldn't be listening to this program. So we recommend the generic supplemental guidelines that are well known to everyone by now. Wearing a mask when you're out amongst people that you do not know their vax status. You have no idea because of the danger of being the recipient of spike and or mRNA and or mRNA, and wear gloves and wash your hands. We've had some people who, when they get home, the one woman makes her husband take his clothes off outside in the porch, and they go into a plastic bag and then into the washer. He comes in, showers completely before he comes into the house so as not to bring into the home spike and mRNA. And that may be not a bad idea.
Yeah, if you can think of it like a radioactive particle, I mean, it's not radioactive, although it has radiomimetic effects, but it sticks to clothes, it sticks to hair, may stick to skin.
It would have to.
What's that?
It would have to stick to skin, I would think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, if you want to keep your home spike-free, that is not a bad idea. Leave the clothes at the door.
The only other, if you could set up some kind of UVB chamber, lights in a room, you come in, take off, of your clothing and UVB yourself.
UV will not. It does nothing for the amyloid peptides.
But the spike, wouldn't it
kill the
spike externally?
Well, when you degrade the
think.
Spike, I think I wouldn't count on UV.
All right, an ozone room. How's that?
Maybe. I'd want to see some data, but the UV did not do anything in terms of reducing the infectivity of the amyloidogenic sequences in the spike.
Right,
and that's something you need to
true.
Think about when you're destroying the spike. by whatever way, you know, cleaving it with enzymes, you could be exposing these amyloidogenic sequences. Now, those are sequences of certain amino acids that are renowned, shown to cause proteins to misfold.
Now, let me help everyone just for a second. What Erica's talking about is these amyloidogenic sequences on every spike protein. There are seven locations that we know about on every spike protein that when that spike protein is cleaved or made to open up, as it were, it exposes those seven amyloidogenic sequence spots to the bloodstream and all the other proteins that are washing past it all the time. And when another protein comes into connection with one of those amyloidogenic spots on the spike protein, there are seven of them that we know about, it misfolds. It's a ruined protein, and it becomes a player in the game of amyloidosis. And it'll go on by itself and cause other proteins to misfold. Nothing to do with spike. They themselves become progenitor drivers of misfolded proteins.
Yeah, they're amyloid seeds. So and that's known to happen with one particular enzyme, this neutrophil elastase. The flanking sequences in the spike, it tells that enzyme where to cut. And when it cuts it in that particular spot, it opens it up and exposes those sequences. Now, it's happening with neutrophil elastase. That's one particular enzyme that your white blood cells make. I don't know if it's happening with other enzymes. These enzymes, bromelain that people are taking, where does that cleave the spike? We don't know.
Nope.
You know, we may think we're protecting ourselves by taking bromelain and anything. I don't know. Maybe we're just making this thing more infectious in terms of its, you know, ability to cause proteins to misfold. We don't know.
That's a frightful thought. Some people say that bromelain dissolves spike proteins. Well, prove it. We don't know.
Well, it probably does, but how are you breaking it up? Into what types
how
of
indeed.
Sequences?
How indeed. There's one other thing we should touch on. A lot of people are taking MSM, and what else do they call it?
Oh, yeah. CDS, MSM, CDS.
CDS. We don't recommend that.
People have claimed very good results with it for certain symptoms, but it's an oxidizer.
Again, we're talking symptoms here.
We're talking symptoms. You know, it may be having some effect on the dysbiosis that's occurring in the intestinal tract, maybe exerting its effects that way. But one thing that CDS or MMS does, this hypochlorous acid that's generated from it, it does strip iron off of heme in the bloodstream.
Not good.
And free iron is a problem. And it also, again, signals the neutrophils to begin producing this enzyme called elastase, which will cleave the protein and expose those amyloidogenic sequences.
The spike protein, right?
Correct, yes. So I don't know. You've got to really be convinced it's a dice roll.
We don't. We just don't have any solid science to back it. We have anecdotal stuff, and again, that's usually linked up to, well, my symptoms got better. But what about the underlying cause of that symptomology that you find so uncomfortable and disgusting? And it is. So it's a very difficult field. Listening to this program, we suggest you listen to it again. It'll stick. It's hard to remember this stuff. I don't even remember my name sometimes. All right. Any other videos that we wanted to show? There's one more, isn't there? Did I miss one?
Idiot. The goofy one.
Yeah. I got to find it. Let's see. Okay. And then there's this stupidity. Okay, this is a, pardon me, a blonde, a young blonde woman, and she thinks that people are being upgraded by this technology. Now let's just see how much we can tolerate of this one.
Hi there.
Hi there.
I really admire your page, and I admire the thorough research that you do.
Well, thank you.
No, they're not blood clots. And what I'm about to say is going to sound really crazy, but I trust you will look into it. Look into intrabody nano network administered through facts. Just type in those keywords. Then look into transhumanism. Then look into the Internet of Bodies. Then look into how the Internet of Bodies is going to tie into and become the foundation of this new digital financial system that's coming. And then it's all going to make sense. It is self-assembling nanotechnology.
Now, when you hear that, you want to be real careful. I'll leave it at that. Real careful. Self-assembling nanobots, self-assembling nanotechnology, self-assembling biological parasites. It goes on.
For the purpose of creating a carbon nanotube network within the human body to make the human body a device.
And what are those carbon nanotubes usually called, Erica?
Oh, I don't know.
Graphene oxide.
Oh, yes, right.
That can eventually be linked into the Internet of Bodies. It is biotechnology. Created through the manipulation of lipids with polyethylene glycol.
Lipids. Okay. Well, we know about, all right, LNPs. We know they're very bad. Now she's going to get into the polyethylene glycol, the PEG.
Regulation. Polyethylene glycol is one of the components that can be used to make hydrogel.
Hydrogel. There's another buzzword. Keep that one in mind when you hear this stuff.
And after the self-assembling nano network is administered in a human body, along with nano sensors, which is what those round modulars that people are finding, the next step is a form of a chip, which will probably come in the form of like a quantum dot tattoo that will be initiated.
Quantum dots. There's another one. It's just, this woman is just projectile vomiting all this science fiction talk.
For the usage within the digital financial system that is coming. But once that chip is put in place with the intrabody nano network, that will be the authentication and individualization of every human body that has this technology within it, the network and the chip, making them all devices linked into the Internet of Bodies. The psychological, biological, genetic, and physiological data from every single individual will be what backs the new financial system. Information is the new gold. And all of the data being harvested no longer requires permission or notification from anyone that took this jab, because they are now GMOs, which is a product owned by a corporation. The head of that corporation is BlackRock. I know what I'm saying sounds crazy, but I would invite you to look into everything I just spoke.
Okay. Just to give you an idea of some of the cosmologies that are running loose on the net, and you want to be just cautious about these things. It's just, they're almost back to hydras, all right? We're getting back. The little dots. Dots? All right.
Well, all of this serves to distract from understanding the, you know, the toxic biology of the spike protein.
She didn't mention anything, about 19 months now of cell-free mRNA being found on autopsy in people. about spike proteins, about shedding, nothing. All about, this is about transhumans. Okay. Well, anyhow, that don't be taken off the path with this stuff. Just enjoy it and file it. That's the best we can say. All right. What do we want to do? We have 5 minutes left.
Let's see. Did you get the readers from tonight?
I'm ready.
Okay. Anything look good to you?
Vegetarian pizza? That looks very good, that one.
Okay.
All right. Swollen legs from shedding. Shingles, meningitis, shedding susceptibility. Forever shedding. How about those?
Okay. Forever shedding. Okay.
Go to it.
I have heard from people who are around the jabbed that they still get headaches even 2 years later. Someone asked, even from people who have had only one jab, for instance? Has that been your experience? Yes. Oh, dear, then there's no hope. That's a couple people I know. I'm not sure if that's everyone's experience. And... want to take the next one?
All right. Yes, she has had four jabs, and we were in the woods, open air, 1 meter apart. That's around 6 feet for a walk. Still, she affected me. The strange thing is that I didn't feel it right away. I started noticing symptoms a few hours afterwards. I know it's shedding of something other than spike because the usual ivermectin, tea, etc., didn't help. But the weird treatment that seems to have to do with amoebas and bacteria did help. I don't know about the smell. I didn't notice anything, but then again, I was in the open air in the woods. Someone adds, that smell is in the woods sometimes. What is the treatment for amoebas and bacteria? She asks. And that someone says, turns out my daughter has a better nose than me for what we describe as the dead rat smell. In church today, I didn't even notice, but she did. Maybe a foot bath today, I think. Man, that smell stinks, but it's not keeping me away from church. They won't make me a hermit. Well, what about this amoebas and bacteria? What do you, have you heard about that before? It's a new one on me.
No, I think I did go to the web page, but I haven't looked at it yet.
Okay. All right, go ahead, take the next one.
I have a friend a year ago.
Finish it up. Finish it all up. Go ahead.
All right. I have a friend a year ago. He had to go live by himself, leave his family, for everyone was jabbed, and it was affecting him. He tested his D-dimer, and it was through the roof. And should I get a D-dimer test myself? And an answer, it's always a good idea if you're around jabbed people. It's a way to see whether spike is affecting you if you are at risk of thrombosis.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, remember the D-dimer only picks up the breakdown products of a fibrin clot.
A blood clot, a normal blood clot.
Right. And if you're forming amyloid clots, the D-dimer will not pick that up. You have to do a different type of test, a thromboelastogram, where they actually stain it.
And that's not easy to come by, apparently. You've got to make special
appointments. I don't think it's routine.
No. here's a quickie. This melanoma from shedding. Now, granted, this is all anecdotal. We don't pretend that these are predicated on hard science papers, but they are important. Colorado. I need some help. My friend in Colorado has melanoma, and I would greatly appreciate any information to pass along to them. They really don't want to do harsh chemicals, chemotherapy. Drugs that come with chemo, but it seems like they don't have a choice. It's melanoma in the spine. It's stage four. They did not take the shot, but their spouse did, and the other family members did. So the suspicion here is that the shedding led to melanoma in this individual. A suspicion. And again, it's anecdotal. Go ahead and grab one more here, wherever.
Let's see.
These are so important because they're real people.
All right.
They may not
disabled?
Be right all the time, but they're real people.
This is tragic. All right. Anyone here from Toronto, Canada? It's a question about long COVID facilities. Background, I have been giving moral support to someone my son's age for over a year now, an ex-guest. He was in nuclear physics doing his PhD. Severely damaged a few months after his jab, pneumonia, pericarditis, neurological, the whole lot. He got better and traveled to Turkey, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, but they gave him Prozac and some other mind-altering drug to sleep better. Now he can't think or write anymore. He fell down last month, and the hospital insisted on a booster before treating him. His friend insisted he check into a long COVID treatment facility in Toronto and was diagnosed with CFS. I suggested many alternatives. Frontline doctors, healthy foods, etc., detox, but he was mentally not capable of doing anything. It took him a year to try one drop of CDS. I can't believe he allowed the booster and can't believe he checked in where all the docs might potentially be pro-jabbers. Has anyone heard of such a facility? Are they any good? I am scared for his life now. He cannot think straight, has heart issues, insomnia, and is severely depressed, suicidal. Are there any docs that are awake and could help there? Or is this facility the right thing to do? Sadly, I don't trust his doctor based on what he told me, and I don't know anything about such facilities. Any advice would be welcome. Thank you.
Which one was that?
That was disabled from the vax.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, these issues that are reported are so diverse and varied. They're just resulting from the most diabolically evil thing ever constructed. And I think Dr. Chetty was 100% correct when he said that. And that's just the spike that we know about. Now, the mRNA has to be considered even worse than a spike, because that's the instruction set to make the body create them. So,
yep.
I mean, and there are other things. There's another protein that Erica discerned in the literature that was actually bigger than the spike, and we don't know what it does.
No, it was not anything that anybody had ever sequenced. So it's some synthetic protein that they came up with. And it's slightly bigger than the spike, and it was in the Pfizer vax.
It could be straight oncological. We just don't know. We don't know. All right. Well, there's your update, dear friends, for Monday. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you, and we hope this is of some help. Please feel free to share the programs, send them around, listen to them a second time, and... there you go.
Okay.
All right. Go get your sleep time.
Okay.
Girl. All right.
Thank you, Jeff. Okay.
All
good right. Night, everyone.
Okay. Back with Mitch Henderson and another hour of, how does it say? Fun and frivolity. Right. Back in a flash. Hold on.